Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. We are eager to offer amazingly competitive prices, plus an additional $1,000 Costco discount on all new Cherry Hill Volvos. When leasing or purchasing a new or certified Cherry Hill Volvo, you become a valued part of our team. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast.
Yes. This is the next generation of talk. Now, on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Rich Zeoli.
All right, as we're all trying to cut through the smog and the dust out there from the Canadian wildfires, more people enter the race for President of the United States of America. Yes, Chris Christie, Mike Pence, a virtual rogues gallery of former Trump loyalists. Good afternoon. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here today, 855-839-1210, and on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. Thanks for being here today. It's a busy, busy afternoon, as it always is. Christie compares Trump to the Harry Potter villain Voldemort as his president. And then, of course, Trump hit back at him. So we'll get into that a little bit. He also broke out an impression of Donald Trump last night, which was a little bit cringeworthy, to say the least. Just a tad cringeworthy. No question about it. And on the national front, you know, the White House is still blaming Ukraine for who blew up the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. And yet, it's so funny that they're doing this at the very same time that they assured us. They assured us that it was impossible that anybody could blow up the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. And now suddenly it seems to be Ukraine that did it, probably with our taxpayer dollars. I'm not buying this. I think we did it, and we need an investigation. That's what we need. Now, in the wake of this of these fires that are raging right now, and maybe you're dealing with this, maybe you're seeing it, kids' practices are getting canceled, schools are not letting kids go outside and play. There's an unhealthy air alert that goes from Ottawa, Burlington, Rochester, the upstate New York, down to Washington, and our area is encompassed in this as well. Some parts of that are actually, they're saying, severe unhealthy. Like, don't even breathe. Just get a breathing machine. But for where we are, they say it's unhealthy if you're exposed for long periods of time and if you're a child. I had lunch outside today and I was fine. I mean, it was a little bit annoying because I have allergies, but I didn't drop dead or anything. And I saw some people playing golf, so I don't know. But this is going to continue a little bit, maybe till tomorrow or possibly the day after, as the dense veil of smoke blankets the northeast skies. The one thing that I do know, though, as much as this might be interfering with your day-to-day, since our part of the country right now seems to be kind of ground zero for this, it's really not climate change. It's just wildfires. I mean, wildfires burn. Fires burn in forests. It's how forests clear themselves. And this has been going on since the dawn of forests. I mean, it just happens. And yet, immediately, the usual suspects like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and others come out and start screaming about climate change. Man-child Justin Trudeau starts screaming about climate change. Yes, they're all doing it, you know. They're all doing it because, well, I mean, it's a great opportunity. Anytime there's a storm, anytime there's anything they can blame on climate change, they're going to do it. Of course they're going to do it. Why wouldn't they do it? There's nothing that you can point to that says this is because of climate change. But again, that's the point. You don't have to prove it, because how can you disprove it? You can't. So whatever they tell you, you can't disprove it. I mean, COVID lab leak theory. They go, well, it's from a wet market. It came from an undercooked bat burger. No, it didn't. Well, then prove I'm wrong. Well, I can't get into the lab. How can I know? Exactly. So then I might as well be right. And they do this all the time. And whenever there is a convenient excuse to turn around and blame climate change for something, East Coast choking in the skies, unhealthy, the worst air quality right now, Scranton, Pennsylvania, it's hazardous, Allentown, PA, a little bit north of us right now, New York City, it's hazardous. Although in New York City, the plus side is, in New York City, the air is so dense right now, you can't see people mug you. So there's that. You know, as they're mugging you in the dense fog, you don't even see it. It looks like something out of a Batman movie. So you just feel better after they've taken all your stuff. It's kind of nice in that respect. In Philadelphia, they can't carjack anymore today because every car looks like a junker because it's all covered in dust. So they don't even know what the good car is anymore. So they've actually taken a day off from carjacking. All right, well, that's not true. Of course, nothing's going to stop them from carjacking, obviously. But yeah, very hazardous air and all around us. But climate change? And then they go, well, it's unhealthier in the cities because there's not as many trees. Right. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. Yes, okay. But it's also not as bad as being surrounded by trees in a forest in Canada, which is on fire. So yeah, you got to think about it from that perspective, right? You got to think about, all right, the air's bad in a city because there's not as much cross breeze from the trees and the trees aren't absorbing as much, but still not as bad as being in the forest, the Adirondack Park right now, where there's so many trees and they're probably on fire right now. So just keep that in mind too, as you think about all this. But it's always going to be climate change as the excuse for anything. It really is. When you've got a crisis, or a fake crisis, and then you have the opportunity to ratchet that up, and something like this happens, oh, well, then you don't waste any time. You immediately go for it. That's what the left has learned. Remember, never let a crisis go to waste. The Saul Alinsky playbook. The Saul Alinsky playbook. New York City hits worst air quality in recorded history because of wildfires. This is an odd event. This is not something that's going to happen regularly. Just like the California wildfires the last couple of years. There are periods where it gets very dry and some idiot will throw a cigarette out the window or something like that and boom, spark a wildfire. Or it'll just happen. Because yes, forest fires can just happen. They don't need a man or a woman or somebody who's... I should also mention to you, as I'm thinking about that, I had a doctor's appointment today. Just a checkup, dermatologist. Every year I go just to make sure there's no skin cancer or anything like that because my dad had some issues with that. So I just go every year. They check me for all my skin, take off any skin tags they see or anything like that, freeze some ugly black things on my back that aren't cancerous, thank God, so that they just fall off, you know? Well, I'm waiting for the doctor, Dr. Green, who's a great guy and a listener, by the way, and a customer of Cherry Hill Volvo. And as I'm waiting for him, the nurse comes in and she does the usual things. You know, you're dressed the same, your phone number the same, any medications, anything new? And she goes, and now the following two questions we're required to ask you by the state of New Jersey, but it's optional. You don't have to answer. Now, what I laughed about that was, well, of course it's optional. How are you going to force me to answer? What are you going to do? Deny me medical care? Put me in prison? Beat me? Of course it's optional. But they tell you that, you know, that's the thing. They go, these two questions we have to ask you by law, but it's optional. Of course it's optional. You're going to force me to say anything I don't want to say. Question one, what is your perceived gender? Do you think or do you feel you're more of a man or a woman? I kid you not. Do you feel like you're more of a man or a woman? This is what the nurse says to me. And you can tell she's trying her best to get through this. And I said to her, I know that I'm a man. And she said, okay. And she checked the box. Next question is, what is your sexual orientation? And I just stared at her. And I said, is this multiple choice? Are you going to give me a list here? Or she goes, no, just tell us. I said, okay, I'm straight. She said, okay, thanks very much. She left the room. That was that. But I just thought it was funny that we're now asking this. What is the gender that you feel like you are? And then what would change about that, actually? That's what I can't figure out either. I mean, if you're a woman, you're sitting there and you're about to get a breast cancer exam, and the nurse comes in and goes, are you a man or a woman? And the woman says, I feel more like a man. The doctor is still going to check you for breast cancer. He's still going to check you. The gynecologist is still going to check you to make sure you don't have ovarian cancer or anything like that. Nothing changes. So what's the point of asking this question? It's not like all of a sudden they go, oh, well, then you know what? We can cancel your appointment. Since you're a man, we don't have to worry about doing these things to you anymore. So we're good. You can go home. You have the rest of the day to yourself. Or if you're sitting there in the doc's office and he's about to put the fist up where, you know, where the sun don't shine, going to use the whole fist, doc, Moon River. And the doc says to you, are you male or female? And you go, I feel more like female. The doctor doesn't then turn around and go, all right, well, we can skip the prostate check. Please feel free to make your way back to the waiting room. And there's snacks. You know, what changes? What is the purpose of asking this question? What changes? Nothing. But it's the woke state of New Jersey. Just like these woke lefty states. They ask nonsense for no point. There's no scientific point to it. I mean, there's a virtue signaling woke point to it. Although I think the numbers are going to be so low of people that identify as transgender that it's probably silly for them to even keep track of. But this is what they do. And again, nothing would change in that moment. The doctor may come in and go, oh, hello, ma'am, if I had said I feel more like a woman. But it's not going to change the medical care I receive. But the left does this stuff all the time. They do things that are so silly and pointless. And you just sit there and go, what the hell was the point of that? What was the point of them telling me what my... Why should I tell them what my sexual orientation is? And yes, I know it's voluntarily. I don't have to answer. But what are they going to do? If I say the right answer, is the nurse going to ask me for a date? Is the doctor going to ask me out? I mean, I'm still married. So what changes here by knowing my sexual orientation? Is there a special hangout room? Like if I say to them, I'm bisexual, they'd be like, well, it's a good thing you let us know because we don't tell everybody this. But since you said the code word, go to the back where it says staff only, walk in there. There is one hell of a party going on right now. But we had to make sure you'd fit in. So go ahead. It's like a whole swingers thing back there. Go ahead. And nothing changes. Why do they ask these questions? These invasive, personal, pointless, moronic questions. But the prefacing it with the, and of course now, Mr. Zioli, you don't have to answer. And I felt like saying to them, well, you just call me Mr. before you ask me what my gender is. Before you ask me if I feel like a woman. So, you know, I'm a little offended right now. They don't even, but then again, I noticed something. So I went back to the lobby and I was waiting in the waiting room for a minute because I wanted to observe more carefully as they call people's names out. In the past, they would go Mr. So-and-so or something, but then at HIPAA, they don't really do last names anymore. So they just say first names, you know, Patrick, Suzanne, whatever. And I thought about that from the perspective of maybe your name denotes a gender that is not consistent with your preferred sex, and you just put an X on the line. And then when they come out, they go, X, X, X. And then I raise my hand and go, that's me. I'm Mr. X. I'm just going to try it next time. That's all. Just for my own personal amusement, because why not, you know? So as we discuss all this craziness in the world right now with woke and everything else, I keep thinking about the latest controversy regarding science. Because climate change, if you right now don't look at the wildfire smoke blotting out the sun in certain places, like I'm watching on Fox News, and it looks like Los Angeles does with the smog that Los Angeles has all the time. You can't really see the buildings. And last night, my son had baseball, won his playoff game, and I noticed that the sun looked like a red fireball up in the sky. I thought it was cool. And some people were wondering on Twitter, they had some forest fires in South Jersey over the weekend down by Bass River and some other places. The Pine Barrens burn all the time. Usually it's people burning them down to hide evidence of where they buried the bodies. But a lot of times it's just forest fires because they're very thick forest down there. So I noticed the sun was a little bit red. You got this hazy smoke blotting everything out, and it's getting a little bit tough to breathe and everything. And I said to myself, I know that this is going to lead to calls for climate change legislation. And sure enough, AOC pushes the Green New Deal in response to the wildfire smoke blanketing New York City. So once again, she comes out and says, what we need to do is we need to make sure that we can deal with climate change because of this situation. It is a moment to seize. It is never something where you step back and go, does this have anything to do with anything we're talking about? Because that would be a wasted opportunity. That would be a wasted opportunity, so you can't do that, obviously. AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and on her Twitter page, which is at Rep AOC, she says, Republicans are so afraid of democracy, they want to disenfranchise predominantly black voters who have been disenfranchised for as far back as when black people were enslaved in the USA. This has nothing to do with election integrity. This is about racial control. I kept thinking about, she's still part of a party, the Democrat Party, that is the party that was the one doing the enslaving back then. And they haven't been canceled yet. You know, the Democrat Party writ large has not been canceled. I mean, maybe at some point they will, but not now, not yet. They haven't been yet. So now she's coming out and saying, if you're exposed to the current air quality in New York City for 24 hours, it will be equivalent to smoking about 6 cigarettes. I kept thinking to myself, that's it? Only 6? That's not that bad. I mean, no, really, I thought it was going to be worse. I thought it'd be worse than that. I thought if you're exposed to this air, the way that they're carrying on about this, I figured that they were going to say, it's like you took your mouth, put it at the back of a tailpipe of a truck, and let just breathe it all in for an hour or two. That's what I thought they were going to say. 6 cigarettes? We're all panicking over that for 6 cigarettes? She says, between New York City and wildfire smoke and this in Puerto Rico, it bears repeating how unprepared we are for climate crisis. We must adapt our food systems, energy grids, infrastructure, healthcare, etc., ASAP for what's to come and catch up to what is already here. Hashtag Green New Deal. I don't know. I do give them credit. I do give them credit for seizing the opportunity to come out and grandstand and use histrionic words and actions. This problem of this air quality is going to be here for another couple of hours, possibly another day. And then everybody's going to get back to work. Everybody's going to be fine. Life will go on. And yes, there'll be more wildfires because it's nature. And this is what nature does. And there's nothing you can do to change that because it's nature. It's just the reality of life. It just is the way it is. But whether it's a bad storm or it's a wildfire, it's now an excuse to come and regulate you in your life. Ban gas stoves, force you to drive an electric vehicle that you may not want to drive, tell you where you can live, tell you the mode of transportation, et cetera, et cetera. It's just another opportunity for them to control your lives. These tyrants will always look for the chance to meddle. You notice that? They'll look for a chance to meddle and tell you what to do, tell you how to be, and tell you what to think. And climate change is their holy grail. There's nothing more sacred than that, in their opinion. Nothing. 855-839-1210 on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. Well, it's great to be with you this afternoon. We got a lot to talk about. The presidential race is heating up, no question about it. And I'll give you the latest on Chris Christie, Mike Pence, the rest of the B team that is now entering the race for president of the United States of America. But I want to tell you about my happy place, the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. Down there, the air is beautiful. I don't know exactly how it is at the moment, but most of the time when you're not dealing with Canadian wildfires, it is one of the most beautiful, pristine areas to go. It really is. The beaches are gorgeous. The Grand Hotel is a great hotel. Huge, giant, outdoor heated pool, big indoor heated pool as well. And there's so much to do in Cape May. You and your family are going to love it. And now's the time to make lifetime memories by booking a vacation at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. They have these wonderful townhouses. You know, we stayed there. They have 3 bedrooms, a full kitchen, 2 bathrooms, a big outdoor patio overlooking the ocean. It's great. And you could stay there with a couple families too. You could even combine them. It's so many options. And the Grand Hotel, what also is cool, is they've got cabanas. You can get food delivered right to your beach chair. And every room comes with 2 beach chairs per room. So you'll be able to sit on the beach, enjoy it. You can get drinks at the outdoor pool bar, dinner in Hemingway's restaurant, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And if you are thinking about a wedding and you want to have your dream wedding on the ocean, the ocean front, well, there's no place better than the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, because it's absolutely gorgeous there. And Caitlin, my friend, will help you plan a wedding that you will never forget. Truly a wedding of your dreams. So reach out to them today by going to GrandHotelCapeMay.com. GrandHotelCapeMay.com and do it today. Don't wait because they'll sell out. They always do every summer. And you don't want to miss out on this. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Zioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
Perhaps you're a mom, and perhaps you believe in liberty. Maybe you're even part of a group called Moms for Liberty. Well, your group has now been labeled a hate organization by the Southern Poverty Law Center. This group is a joke. You know, I've told, no, not Moms for Liberty, the Southern Poverty Law Center. I've told you for years, this is a group that peddles in the most vile hate for conservatives. And any conservative group out there, they will label as a hate group. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what it is. Moms for Liberty, which is a group that really got started during the pandemic. I mean, the pandemic was a wake-up call for so many people. I have a friend who lives in Pennsylvania, and she started a Moms of Liberty chapter in her state because they wanted to make sure their kids could stay in school and didn't have to wear masks and didn't have to get vaccines for COVID. This is why they did this. And then along the way, they started to realize, well, the curriculum that our kids are learning, this is not good. You know, this curriculum is nuts. So they said, let's do something about it. And they were one of the earliest groups to start highlighting what kids are learning in school. So if you look at the trajectory of this, you had groups like Paul Martino and Clarice Schillinger had their Back to School PA. You had Moms for Liberty. And all these various groups, which at the beginning of it said, we need schools to be open. And I remember back then how many times I'd interview a mom from one of these groups. And they would talk about the fact that we got to get the kids back in school. It's safe for the kids to be back in school. They need to be back in school. And they would do all this. And then all of a sudden, as kids started to return to school, parents started saying, now we need to do something about the curriculum, because this is problematic, which led to things like the Parental Rights in Education Bill in Florida, which you know as the so-called Don't Say Gay Bill, which you're allowed to say gay, and it doesn't say that anywhere in the bill. The federal government didn't like that. The Attorney General, Merrick Garland, who is a political hack, who is a guy that has really, really upset by the fact that he was never given a shot to be on the United States Supreme Court. So he's a partisan hack, and he's using the Department of Justice and the FBI to go after his enemies. That's what he's doing. And he's very good at it. I mean, he's very effective at using the tools of law enforcement to target enemies. That's when that FBI letter came out. That's when that letter was put out by Merrick Garland and the National School Boards Association, basically telling parents, hey, we know you might be a terrorist, right? You might be a terrorist, you in the back of the room, and we're watching you. Moms for Liberty is one of the groups that they targeted early on, because these groups are a threat to them. These groups are a threat to them when they come out and they say things like, we don't want our kids learning the indoctrination that you're forcing everybody to learn here. We want to push back on this. That's a threat. I mean, that's a threat against the system of indoctrination that the public school system has managed to craft so artfully with the help of the teachers union. And now the Southern Poverty Law Center has struck. More than 2 years into a conservative push against teaching about Black history, this is the lie from NPR, National Public Radio, teaching about Black history, literature, and gender identity in schools, the Southern Poverty Law Center has concluded that a dozen so-called parental rights groups behind the movement are extremists. So let's think about that. Let's just digest that for a moment, shall we? The Southern Poverty Law Center, which is a group that routinely targets conservatives and libertarians as being hateful, and then puts them right next to neo-Nazis and actual real groups that do hate. And they're not well organized, and they're very small, and they don't have a lot of members. But the goal here is, if you put Moms of Liberty next to the neo-Nazi skinheads, then everybody thinks they're one and the same. That's the goal. That's why they do it that way. If you put the Alliance Defending Freedom next to neo-Nazi skinheads, you've achieved something there. It's not an accident that they do these things. They want moms to think twice about joining these groups. A mom who thinks to herself, you know, I'd really love to get involved in this organization, but I don't want to be labeled a white supremacist. I can't afford to be. I'd lose my job. I'd lose my standing in the community. I can't do it. That's why the Southern Poverty Law Center does what they do. It's why the Department of Justice put out that letter. It's why Merrick Garland and his little band of merry police state thugs were trying to intimidate moms and dads out there for this very reason, to get you to be quiet. Now, NPR writes, more than 2 years into a conservative push against teaching black history. Who's against teaching black history? Who's against teaching that? Nobody. The difference is, though, we're not interested in the critical race theory that is espoused by people like Nina Turner and all these other people out there who have completely given a narrative that is so full of lies about the history of this country. The 1619 Project, critical race theory, that's what people don't want. They don't want that. But then they take it a step further. They go, yeah, you people don't want to teach about slavery. No, nobody ever said that. No one ever said that. They started going after DeSantis for that, if you remember, in Florida. They came out and said, that's stupid. We teach history. But then they had this AP Black History class, AP African American History, which had things in there about transgender and had things in there about all these other. So he said, we're not teaching that. We're not doing that. But you know, the Southern Poverty Law Center just put it all together. Oh, you don't like black history. Then they write literature. Literature? Who's against literature? Oh, you mean some parents don't think certain literature is appropriate for their children? Right. That's called a judgment call based upon the age of the child, which happens all the time. I dare you to go into a school library at a woke blue school and see if they have, and I've asked this before, Dr. Thomas Sowell's books. Do they have them in there? Chances are, no, they don't. No, they don't. Now, is that because they're banned, or is that because they're going a different direction when it comes to curriculum? There's no book bans in this country. Not a single book is banned. Not one. Not anywhere. There are no book bans in the United States of America, period. It's a lie. A lie they tell all the time. But if you are a parent or you're a school and you would like to say, these books are not appropriate for the kids' ages that you're talking about, so we're not going to have them in our library or have them as part of our coursework, that's now censorship. Even though there's all kinds of books like Thomas Sowell's books, for example, would never show up in a woke New York City private school classroom where the parents are spending $65,000 a year for their kids. Would never show up there. I don't go around accusing that of being a book ban. How many of Wilfred Riley's books are in these woke schools? Professor Wilfred Riley, who wrote Hate Crime Hoax. How many of his books are in these school classrooms? And then NPR says, gender identity in public schools. Now, again, this is the other lie. Gender identity in public schools. That a public school says that you can't have your gender identity. What does that mean? Does that mean everybody's gender neutral? No, that's, again, code for the schools are not going to allow biological men in women's bathrooms and locker rooms and play on women's teams. But they write this stuff to make everybody think, wow, these people are, they're that extreme. They're against black history. They hate literature, and they don't believe in gender identity in schools. What does this even mean? You know, if you didn't believe in gender identity from the concept of science or biology, everything would have to be gender neutral. But what they mean by gender identity is that you have an identity that is different from your biological sex. And so accordingly, you should be able to use whatever locker room that fits your gender identity. So if you're a school district and you say that that's not good, we're not going to allow that here. Biological males have to use the men's locker room. That is now considered to be hateful. The Civil Rights Organization, that's how they describe the Southern Poverty Law Center. You know what I describe it as? I describe the Southern Poverty Law Center as a leftist fundraising tool of the Democrat Party. That's what it is. The civil rights organization particularly focuses on the largest of these, the nonprofit Moms for Liberty, in its annual Year in Hate and Extremism report for 2022, saying that it advances an anti-student inclusion agenda. The Southern Poverty Law Center has put it and similar organizations on its list of anti-government extremist entities. Anti-government extremist entities. So the moms in yoga pants who just don't want their kids learning about this transgender ideology and then having a biological dude on the girls' swim team, these moms are anti-government extremists. You see the game? You see what they do? It's all about getting you to sit down and shut up, be good, and stay in your lane. Because if you don't, if you speak up, we're going to label you as an anti-government extremist. And then when the Moms for Liberty are talking to other moms and they say things like, why don't you join our group? We're doing a lot of great stuff here. We managed to keep schools open. We managed to get rid of the masks. We managed to get rid of the COVID vaccine mandate for our kids. Now we're working on the curriculum to try to get this woke curriculum out of the classrooms. And then another mom thinks to herself, well, I can't be labeled as somebody part of an anti-government extremist group. It's no surprise that they're doing this. It's done on purpose. Rachel Carol Rivas, who's deputy director for research, reporting, and analysis at the Southern Poverty Law Center, said the following, quote, they really are seeking to undermine public education holistically and to divide communities. Divide communities. How are they dividing communities? You know what it is? If you don't go along with whatever the left says when it comes to school and curriculum, then you're dividing the community. Anyone who speaks out against it is dividing the community. That's how they figure it out. Conservative women founded this organization in Florida in 2021 and expanded nationally across the country. And maybe you're listening right now and you're a member of one of these groups. Maybe you are a member of the Moms for Liberty. And you probably enjoy the camaraderie and you enjoy the like-minded thinking and all this stuff. And then the Southern Poverty Law Center, which again is a leftist fundraising tool for the Democrat Party, comes out and labels it hate and puts it right next to the neo-Nazis. The Southern Poverty Law Center said, quote, we believe that parental rights do not stop at the classroom door, and no amount of hate from groups like this is going to stop that. So, you know, actually, now as I read that, that's a quote from the mom. I think NPR made a mistake here. I think this is the mom from Moms for Liberty who said, we believe that parental rights do not stop at the classroom door. Carol Rivas from the Southern Poverty Law Center said she believes that the parental rights banner that Moms for Liberty flies does not extend to all parents. She said, we're thinking about the kind of parents of LGBTQ students, parents of black students who want to hear the full story of the history of the United States, parents of all kinds who just want to make sure that their kids are getting treated fairly and equitably, and that they have a really good, thriving education. So let's break that down. Parents of LGBTQ plus IA, every letter of the alphabet, kids. All right. Parents of black students who want to hear the full history of the U.S. as told through the 1619 Project, as told through the eyes of the critical race theory that is what the left is pushing. LGBTQ students, as put in the context of, if you are a biological male but you identify as a woman, you should be able to use the girls' locker room and play on a girls' team. And they want to make sure that these kids are getting treated fairly and equitably, and that they have a really good, thriving public education. See, public is the key here. So that's why if you are an organization that supports, for example, school choice, you believe in school choice, and you think that parents should have a say in where their kids go to school, which could really solve all these problems, could it not? You wouldn't have to have communities divided if we had school choice. You could send your kids to the woke school of your choice. I could send my kids to a non-woke school of our choice. The Southern Poverty Law Center report compares Moms for Liberty and similar organizations of today to pro-segregationist parent groups that flourished in the wake of the 1954 Supreme Court decision in Brown v. Board of Education. So Moms for Liberty, which believes in school choice, which would actually do more to integrate schools in this country than anything else, they are compared to segregationists who protested outside the Supreme Court in 1954. You see the game? You see the game that's played here? Why would you want to join a group like that if you are somebody that has a good job or good standing in the community? You wouldn't. You couldn't. You can't be afforded to be called a racist or a segregationist. So you stay quiet and you stay out of it. That's the game. It's the intimidation game. Guilt by association. But how is it that a group that supports school choice, which would do more to integrate schools in this country than anything else, is considered to be segregationist? I mean, none of these moms are talking about whites-only schools. None of them have ever said such a thing like that. But it doesn't matter, because you just, if you're the Southern Poverty Law Center, your NPR just makes stuff up. Shannon Hiller, executive director of the Bridging Divides Initiative at Princeton University, said that it was hateful then and it's hateful now. Where is anyone talking about having whites-only schools again in America? They're not, but the article doesn't say that. It doesn't have to say that. The NPR story doesn't have to ever back up any of the accusations that are thrown at Moms for Liberty. It doesn't have to do that. It can just let them throw it up there and then stick. See, they have this now. There are cases at school boards in North Carolina, for example, where Moms for Liberty showed up together with Proud Boys and were part of intimidating the school board. Their organizing is quite concerning for how it harms communities, but also because of the associations with other hard right groups that they've really had since their inception. Some members of Moms for Liberty chapters have also been accused, and at least in one case, convicted of harassment. Out of curiosity, any of the peaceful protesters after George Floyd, or any of those whack jobs in Atlanta right now who have been charged with domestic terrorism, who are protesting the new police training complex, have any of them been charged or convicted of harassment? So are these groups labeled hate groups too by the Southern Poverty Law Center? Nope. Because if you are a leftist group, no matter how crazy you are, no matter if your members throw Molotov cocktails at police cars, you don't get labeled a hate group. You have to be a group that stands for something conservative. That's the bottom line. That's the game. And the game is rigged. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. So Dr. Mike Veneria is a great guy, a great friend of the show, and the master of dental implants. That's right. He's a terrific guy. He really is. He will give you the smile of your dreams because Dr. Mike understands the value of care. You know, care matters. It really does. That's why so many people come to see Dr. Mike no matter where they are. So if you are in Pennsylvania, he's got two offices to serve you, Cinnaminson and Woodbury. But it's worth a trip if you're coming from someplace further, like Mama Zeoli, for example, who comes from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Yes. And the best part about Dr. Mike is he's for 9 consecutive years, his office has been voted best dentist in South Jersey. Whether it's pediatric, general, cosmetic dentistry, or those very complicated dental implants, Dr. Mike Veneria will give you a great, great experience. So make your appointment today by going to VeneriaDental.com. It's V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VeneriaDental.com. And remember, he's my dentist and my family's dentist as well. Patrick, Claire, Reagan, Bridget, we all go to see Dr. Mike Veneria. So let him be your dentist and give you the smile you deserve. VeneriaDental.com.
Thanks for listening to the Zeoli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
Like in California, for example, you know, you might have heard about the violence between Antifa, the nutbags on the left who say that they're anti-fascist, even though they engage in fascist tactics, and parents erupted in Glendale, California, outside a school board meeting over the LGBTQ+IA, every letter of the alphabet, pride agenda. Now, the Southern Poverty Law Center, a reprehensible organization, will label the parents as hate groups, extremist hate groups. But what about the Antifa, for example? Are they on the list? No, and what they've managed to do to get around the fact that they have a lot of violent groups on the left, what they've managed to do is they've added this anti-government thing to it. So they turn around and go, well, you know, Antifa, I mean, they're not anti-government. They love government. They love nutbags. They love the left. So, and this is why a lot of the groups that make it to their hate map across the country, the Southern Poverty Law Center, a lot of the groups that make it, when you see your group next to the Ku Klux Klan. Would you want to be part of that organization? Probably not. Probably not, for lots of different reasons. Imagine this conversation at your office, right? Jane, can you come in here for a second? Yeah, hi, what's up? Jane, we got word that you're part of a hate group. What? No, I'm not. You're part of this group called Moms for Liberty. Yeah, I am. I've been part of it for a while. We've been working on keeping our kids in school, working on curriculum and school choice, everything like that. Well, it's been labeled a hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center, and it's listed right next to the KKK. Well, I'm afraid we're going to have to let you go. That's what they want to happen. That's the ultimate dream of the Southern Poverty Law Center, to intimidate and silence parents. Really, that's what they want to achieve. And so then people will then think twice about joining, and they'll just keep quiet. The Southern Poverty Law Center, in particular, is so vile because any group that supports conservative principles on the right will be labeled next to groups like the KKK. And they are a 501c3 or whatever. They're all about raising money. That's what they do. They're all about raising money. So they go to the big ones, Patriot Front, Ku Klux Klan, the Daily Stormer, which is, you know, and they bring up neo-Nazis and things like that. Oh, and then also Moms for Liberty. Oh, and also the Alliance Defending Freedom. Oh, and also this Christian group here. Oh, and also this Catholic group here. And remember what the Justice Department also tried to do. Remember they tried to label Catholics as also domestic violent extremists? That was when they put out that memo that time. It said, if you like going to church in Latin, or you like any of the pre-Vatican II changes to church, you might be an extremist. You might be a domestic violent extremist. That was absurd. It was laughable, of course. But the only way you can bring up those numbers of all these domestic violent extremists across the country right now, the only way you can do that is if you can open up the vast category of groups that now fall in for potential domestic violent extremists. Can't have domestic violent extremists if you don't have all these different groups being watched and looked at. That's what happens. And that's how it works. Watching the smog, the fire, the air quality is terrible out there. I just got a note. Another one of my son's evening activities has been canceled because of the poor air quality. And a lot of people right now are saying, just stay inside. Don't breathe it, especially if you're asthmatic or you're elderly. I was out there today, had lunch. I was fine. Didn't have an issue with it. But I can understand little kids or elderly people. But I see people, you know, they're outside all the time and they deal with this stuff. But whatever you think is best for you and your family, the good news is it will all be over by tomorrow, but it is the big story of the day today, no question about it. It's everywhere, and it's got a lot of people concerned. I'm not concerned. I'm really not, because I think by tomorrow this will be an old story, or maybe by, at worst, maybe Friday, but it's going to stick around for a little bit now, and then, you know, it'll get out of here. One thing that is a story that's not going away anytime soon is crime in America. That's right, crime in America, particularly our city of Philadelphia. Ben Maness will be here to talk to me about what happened the other day with the drag racing and why this continues, the culture of lawlessness that is absolutely pervasive in our city. But before I do that, I want to tell you about USA Insulation, because they can help you save some serious cash. USA Insulation has been inserting their premium foam into people's walls all across our region. Over 100,000 homes in our area have had USA Insulation use their premium foam into their walls. It gets into places that other insulation can't go, and it gives your home the utmost in insulation effects, which means that the air you pay for stays inside your home, that nice cold air. The hot air stays on the outside where it belongs. You have a more comfortable home. You save money on your energy bill. And right now, USA Insulation has an incredible offer for you. When they foam your walls, they will also insulate your attic for free. That's right. Get free attic insulation when they insulate your walls. That's what I did years ago. It's made all the difference. The house is more comfortable. We feel better every time we open up that electric bill. And you know, with Biden's war on energy, it's not going away anytime soon. So you might as well make that call today to 1-800-USA-FOAM or USAinsulation.net and do what I did. 1-800-USA-FOAM. 1-800-USA-FOAM or usainsulation.net.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.